Let's begin again from the bottom of Yudalit Amud Beis, all the way down at the bottom. Last sentence, right, all the way down at the bottom of Yudalit Amud Beis, the Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Okay? The Omar Rabbi Yochanan. A person who wants to accept upon himself the Malchus of Hashem in the most complete way, which, as we saw, that's how you start the day. That's what it's there for. Yifne. Go to the bathroom. Ve'yitol yodov. Wash your hands. Ve'aniach tefillin, put on tefillin. Ve'yikro kriya shema, and recite kriya shema. Ve'yispalel, and daven. Ve'zuyim malchus shamayim shleimo. Ve'zuyim malchus shamayim shleimo. This is considered the complete form of being mekabel malchus shamayim. What's that? Why aren't Brachas and Psukah de Zimmer mentioned here? Okay, so the answer to that is that Brachas and Psukah de Zimmer are lamaisa part of the daily schedule, but they are not connected per se to the process of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, of accepting Hashem's rulership. Meaning, the Brachas that we say in the morning are each thing for its thing. It's like you put on your shoes, you have to say Amechim Mitzadei Gover. You opened your eyes, you put on your glasses, you got to say Pekeach Ivrim. But that's not necessarily a part of the process. It's just like if you drink a coffee before Shacharis, we won't say that that Shahakol is really part of the process of Kabbalah Malchus Shamayim. You drank a coffee, you said Shahakol. You put on shoes, you said Amechim Mitzadei Gover. You went to the bathroom, you said Ashe Yotza. But, actually, that already is, the going to the bathroom part. But the things that we're listing here are things that are mamish part and parcel of the process of being the Kabbalah Malchus Shamayim. And as we discussed before, that's why going to the bathroom is more than just a technicality. It's not just that since you're not allowed to daven with filth in your body, you have to go to the bathroom. You should consider it an active, it's an end in itself, active preparation. Engaging and making yourself presentable for Hashem is in itself a form of service of Hashem, and it's an end in itself. It's an achievement. The same thing goes for washing the hands. You're washing the hands, you're busy making yourself presentable to greet Hashem. Okay. Now we also note, okay, we already said how tefillin is part of the concept of Kabbalah Malchus Shamayim, because that's wearing the uniform of Hashem's service, right? That's the badge. Shema, obviously, but tefillah also, seeing that Shemoneh Esrei is also considered a part of this process. Shemoneh Esrei. Shemoneh Esrei. Yeah. Yeah. And actually, this Shemoneh Esrei is, Shema and Shemoneh Esrei is kind of like a build-up. Meaning we know that in one sense, Shema is Deraisa, Shemoneh Esrei is Derabanan. But in another sense, Shemoneh Esrei is actually the culmination of Shema. Shema, you're accepting upon yourself, like we've discussed a few times, in Shema you're not talking to Hashem. You're talking to yourself in Shema. Right? You're internalizing, you're reiterating for yourself that I consider myself committed to Hashem's service. But in Shemoneh Esrei, you're actually going to the next step, and you are now turning to Hashem. Now that you have committed yourself to His service, you're ready to go present yourself to Him and talk to Him. So Shemoneh Esrei is a build-up of Shema. That's why actually Shemoneh Esrei epitomizes, it's the cherry on the top, it's the culmination of the process of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. After I sit down, I prepare myself to greet Hashem, and I sit down and I tell myself that I'm committed, then I actually turn to Hashem and I say to Hashem, I just put myself in your service and now I am checking in. That's what you're doing at Shemoneh Esrei. Okay. Omar Abi Chiya bar Abba, Omar Abi Yechanan, Kol Hanifne, V'naytal yadav. If a person does this, goes to the bathroom and washes his hands, or meniach tefillin, puts his tefillin on, v'karei kriyashma, he recites kriyashma, or mispalel, then he davens, ma'le'olov ha'kosuv ki'ilu bona mizbeach, the pasuk considers it as though he built a mizbeach, v'hikriv alov korban, and offered a korban on it. This is very connected to what we just discussed. We'll see momentarily. Diksev, it says in the pasuk, Erchatz benikoyon kapai, v'asoy v'voyos mizbachachlo Hashem. I wash my hands, I clean them, and I circle your mizbeach. So actually, the way we just presented it is that the concept of Shemana Esrei is presenting yourself to Hashem. So the Maharal says, what does it mean when we say that by following this procedure, you are building a mizbeach and bringing a karbon? By making yourself presentable, what you're doing is, you're building a mizbeach. You're preparing the ground, you're preparing the setting to offer a sacrifice to Hashem. And then when you actually come in Shemana Esrei and present yourself before Hashem, you're offering a karbon. Who is that karbon? You. You yourself. That's how we should be in Shemana Esrei. In Shemana Esrei, I am presenting myself as a karbon to Hashem. So you follow this procedure, it's as though you built a mizbeach and you offered a karbon of yourself to Hashem. That's why. Say, Shemana Esrei is avodah shebalev. The point is to really dedicate yourself to Hashem for that period. You dedicate your mind to Him, you dedicate your whole essence to Hashem. Right now, I'm all yours. My soul focuses you, that's all I have on my mind right now. And then you can say yes. Shemana Esrei is simply me giving myself to Hashem. Omar Le Rav. So now Rav says, there's another thing if you follow this procedure. It's even more than that. If a person washes his hands before davening, the pasuk considers it as though he was tovel in the mikveh. He immersed himself in a mikveh. Diksev, because the pasuk says, Erchatz benikoyon. This is a subtle analysis of the Hebrew here. The word Erchatz can either mean to bathe or to wash something else. It can mean roichet something else, or the term roichet can also simply mean about yourself, to bathe. Okay? Now, if you clearly want to express that you're not talking about washing yourself, about bathing, but you're talking about washing something else, you say leharchitz. That's washing something else. Erchatz can go in either direction. It can mean you completely bathing yourself or washing something else. So Rava says the fact that the pasuk chose the word erchatz, which could also signify bathing yourself, diksiv erchatz benikoyon, it says I'm roichet benikoyon, which could also denote I'm bathing myself. V'loiksiv architz kapai, it doesn't say architz, I will wash something else, my hands. So that implies that washing your hands for davening is as though you actually went to the mikveh. Now, what is the Gemara telling us exactly? Why is going to the mikveh so important? Like, what's so great that it's like you went to the mikveh? You wash your hands, it's like you went to the mikveh. And also, ask another question. In as much as going to the mikveh is so important, so why is washing your hands like going to the mikveh? I don't know, I'm not sure exactly what this Gemara is coming to convey here with this. I could just tell you what it says to me. The truth is that when you're talking about preparing yourself to daven appropriately, there could be no end to it. There could be no end. You should every day go get a haircut and a manicure and really bathe yourself well. And also do get your insides cleaned out. What do they call it? You know these what? Enema, yeah. And there's no end. And to prepare yourself mentally for davening, we know that there were chassidish rebbes who prepared for hours. Right? They would start from after Chatzos and they would first be ready to daven at 10. So the truth is that there's no end to what it's appropriate to do for davening. However, we're human and we have to somehow draw a line, because you could go on and on and on preparing for davening without ever actually davening. It could be done too. So therefore you have to draw a line. So therefore the Gemara is saying, if you go about in a very serious way trying to strike that balance right, no, I'm not going to go bathe my whole body necessarily before davening, because I want to move on to davening. But I do also want to do an adequate amount of preparation. I'll at least wash my hands. So the Gemara is saying, that's good. That's good. Even if it's on and on and on you could go, if you go about an adequate presentation, that's, Hashem says, okay, I consider it as though you did everything you could to make yourself presentable to me. The truth is that it's like this with all areas of Ruchnius. Whenever you're dealing with a mitzvah, whenever you're dealing with anything in Ruchnius, there's no end to the preparation and how much you should beautify it, etc. But the problem is you have to be doing other mitzvahs also. So the truth is, every mitzvah that we do doesn't get due attention. But you're going to put tzitzis on. You should spend 3 weeks contemplating it first. And that still wouldn't do the job if you really appreciate the significance of tzitzis. So this world is about striking the balance somehow. So that's how, that's what this Gemara says to me. You washed your hands. It's not a cop-out. The point is, I want to get it right. I want to be able to put time into davening also, not just preparing for davening. So that's what we're being told. Okay. Omar le Ravina le Rav. Now Ravina says to Rav, so if so, we've been introduced to the concept, which is actually more than a concept, it's more than a virtuous practice, as we're going to see momentarily, the chiyuv of washing your hands before davening. That's a chiyuv, an obligation. So, now we're going to move on to the halachic aspect of it. Ravina said to Ravina, Chazi mar hai tzuva merabonot. Did you see this Talmud Chacham, the scholar, the Asumi Ma'arove? He came from Eretz Yisrael. Ba'omar, and he came with a novel ruling. He said, we said that before reciting Kriya Shema, you should wash your hands. So he said, listen to this, if you don't have water to wash your hands, Mekaneach Yodov Be'ofar, you can cleanse it with other things. You can wipe it in soil, or with tzrar, or with pebbles, or with kismis, or in twigs, meaning anything that will scrape off whatever impurities that might be on your hand. Doesn't have to be water per se. What's that? The spiritual impurity is not really being addressed here. Here, we're talking about, when you're saying Kriya Shema, davening, you have to make sure your hands are clean. That's a physical concept. There's another concept of Ruach Ra. We're going to leave that as a separate discussion. We'll touch on it briefly, Blina, this soon. But we are, right now, just talking about the halachic aspect of having your hands clean, which is physical, physically clean. What? Oh, we'll get to that. So, if you don't have water available, water is not necessary per se. You can use anything that'll basically cleanse the hand, which includes also a rag, fabric, a paper towel. Okay. Two of you are getting to the same point. Well, we'll put this into perspective. But right, let's see right now. This is only good enough for before that. Okay. But you know what? Okay, we'll take a step back and put this into perspective so we should really have things clear. It shouldn't be confusing as we're discussing it. When you wake up in the morning after having slept, there's a ruach ra on your hands. There's a, we call a bad spirit, the spirit of tumah, whatever it is. That can only be eliminated by washing your hands 3 times back and forth. That's not what we're discussing here. Besides that, there's a chiyuv to have clean hands for davening. Therefore, for example, let's say you washed your negel vaser in the morning, you got rid of the ruach ra. But then afterwards, you fixed your car, and your hands are all grimy. Now this chiyuv kicks in. Now you have a chiyuv to have your hands clean for davening. It's a separate chiyuv. Now the two will often come together. You wash your hands in the morning, now your hands are clean for davening. It's hard to wash your hands in the rafrah and leave them dirty. So, two often come together. But really, it's two separate concepts. We have to divide the two, because they often really are separate. The truth is, most of us, you won't be able to use your negel vaser for davening, because after you wash your negel vaser, you get dressed. Right? You take off your pants, you're touching your legs, you're touching your body. So you're going to have to wash again before davening. Wash for davening? Long enough not to have lost... Sorry, it has to be soon enough not to have lost the consciousness. Meaning, if you got busy with something else, preoccupied, you weren't conscious of your hands. That's fine. As long as you retain that consciousness. Meaning you remember, my hands are clean and I have to keep them clean. Yeah. Okay. Now, I'll just note something, just in order to make it clear how separate these two concepts are. Ruach ra'ah in the morning doesn't prevent you from davening. You have to have clean hands, but you're allowed to daven with the ruach ra'ah. Meaning, yeah, you have to wash your hands as soon as possible to get rid of the ruach ra'ah. But let's say you don't have water. Or you're camping in the Sahara. You don't have water. Okay? Can I daven with the ruach ra'ah? With filthy hands, you can't daven. So therefore, take a dry towel and wipe your hands well. But I still have ruach ra'ah. That doesn't matter. You can daven with the ruach ra'ah. So, I'm just trying to emphasize that the two concepts are completely separate. You wash with water to get rid of the ruach ra'ah, and there's a separate chiyuv to wash your hands for davening. And here, this chacham is saying that the chiyuv to wash your hands for davening does not necessarily entail water. You can do it. If you don't have water available, you can use anything that will cleanse them. What's that? You have to get rid of the ruach ra'ah just because you have to get rid of the ruach ra'ah, but nothing to do with davening. If you don't have water, you can daven with the ruach ra'ah. Ruach ra'ah is not a problem for davening any more than it is for being. You can't have a ruach ra'ah on you, but if you can't get rid of it, you can't get rid of it. You don't have water. Ruach ra'ah is not an impediment for davening. Okay. So whatever it is, Rabin is surprised by this ruling. Davening, I always understood, you should wash with water. And he's coming and saying, no, anything that will clean your hands will do. So Amalei, so Rabbi said, why are you so surprised by that? Shapir Ka'omar, he's saying good, he's right. Miksiv Erchatz Bamayim. What did the Pasuk say? The Pasuk said, Erchatz Benikayon Kapai. I clean, or I wash my hands with cleanliness. Does it say I wash my hand with water? Doesn't say anything about mine. Benikayon ksiv. It says, with cleansing. The point is, call me the Dimanaki. Whatever gets it clean. Because again, here the issue is purely physical. The point is, have clean hands. Whatever will do the job, will do the job. Wipe them on your tie. Okay? Let's change your tie to davening. Now, the Harav Chizda, and even more than that, listen to this. The Harav Chizda, Layit Aman Demahada Amaya Be'idon Tlusa. Rav Chisda would actually curse people who would make a point of searching for water when it was time to daven. You hear that? What? Oh, let's see. So the truth is, it shouldn't necessarily say davening here. His main point is Kriya Shema. Okay, it's questionable how the Gemara is supposed to be read. But we'll see. But he said, he would curse people who would make a point of looking for water. Now, the Gemara qualifies that, however. Vahani mili the Kriya Shema. Now, that's true for Kriya Shema. For Kriya Shema, if it's time for Kriya Shema, you have water available, wash your hands. If not, don't look for water. Just cleanse them on anything. And in fact, it's not only discouraged, but cursed if a person goes looking for water when it's time to say Kriya Shema. That's as far as Kriya Shema goes. Aval it bila. But when it comes to davening Shemana Esrei, Mahadim, then do go searching for water. Oh, you're asking a good question. I'm going to address it momentarily. Actually, I'm going to address it now. What's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying, yes, there is a chiyuv to wash your hands before Kriya Shema davening. But when it comes to Kriya Shema, you don't have water available, just wipe it on anything. And in fact, it's also, Rav Kizna is saying, to go searching for water. But davening, no. Davening, you got to search for water. So first of all, so Stan is asking, isn't Kriya Shema more chamor? How come with Kriya Shema we say just wipe it on anything? And with Shemana Esrei we say go look for water. But I ask a different question. I'm going to take a step even more basic. Which is the chumrah here? Which? Each is a chumrah. Rav Chizna is saying, for Kriya Shema, it's also to search for water. For Shemana Esrei, you better search for water. Which is the chumrah and which is the cooler? Where are we being more lenient and where are we being more stringent? Not so clear, is it? So maybe it's the other way around. Maybe because Kriya Shema is Daraisa, he's cursing. And he's saying, that's more chumrah, don't go searching for water then. What's that supposed to mean? So the truth is that there are three approaches in the Mepharshim. Mamish opposite approaches of what here is more chumrah, what here is more kal. So, first of all, this is how Rashi puts it down, as understood by the other Mepharshim. Kriya Shema is the more chumrah of the two. Because it's Daraisa and it's got a set time. And therefore we say, don't run any risk of missing the Zman. Yes, it's appropriate to wash with water, but there's a greater urgency. Even more important than washing with water is making sure you say that Kriya Shema on time. So therefore, with Kriya Shema, no risks. You got water, wash with water. You don't, just say Kriya Shema, make sure you got it in. Huh? Ah, Shemana Esrei, we can be a little more lenient. Why? So listen to this. Say, first of all, Shemana Esrei, if you miss the time because you had no water, you make it up at the next tefillah. Right? That's the thing. If you miss Shemana Esrei ba'oynes, you make it up at the next tefillah. So therefore, Chazal could afford to impose the obligation of washing all the way with Shemana Esrei. With Kriya Shema, because of its stringency, they couldn't afford to make the requirements too stringent. We got to make sure you get that Kriya Shema in, and therefore, you don't have water available, just say Kriya Shema. Don't start looking or anything, just say it. Shemana Esrei, there we can afford to be machmir. We can afford to be machmir and say, no, you must have water. Ah, you're going to miss the Zman? Miss the Zman, you make it up later, but make sure you have water. Yes, but you missed the mitzvah of Shema. That cannot be made up. You'll get credit for laying the Torah, but as we saw earlier, the special mitzvah of Shema you'll never regain. So therefore, what comes out according to this explanation is that stafka, because of the stringency of Kriya Shema, that we had to be more lenient and say, don't worry too much, just say it. Okay? Others say almost exactly the opposite. The chumrah is in tefillah. The Rashba suggests this. He says, dafka because tefillah is the rabbanon, the chachamim felt the need to reinforce it more, to get people to take it more seriously. We often find this concept. The araisas, people take seriously. They don't need, well, sometimes there's a need for the chacham to make zeres there too, but they don't. Chacham might say, this doesn't need our help. People take it seriously enough. Since tefillah is the rabbanon, Chazal were concerned people might not relate to it with the proper reverence, and therefore there, they imposed a more stringent requirement. They said, there, you got to wash with water no matter what. Okay. Now the smak adds something that's significant. Similar to what we said before, that even though Kriya Shema is Doraisa and Tefillah is Derabanan, in a way Shemana Esrei is actually doing something higher than Kriya Shema. The smak says, smak is similar to what we said before. Kriya Shema, you're not talking to Hashem. And therefore, what's appropriate for Kriya Shema, and with Shemana Esrei, you are actually directly talking to Hashem. And therefore, what's appropriate for Kriya Shema might not be appropriate for Shemana Esrei. Yes, in terms of halachic stringency, Kriya Shema is Daraisa and Tefillah is Darabanan. But in terms of presentability, in terms of acting appropriately, Shemana Esrei does have more stringent requirements than Kriya Shema, because Shemana Esrei, you are talking to Hashem. Kriya Shema, you're not. And therefore, the rules of presentability, the rules of etiquette, is how you pronounce it, are more stringent with Shemana Esrei than with Kriya Shema. This is also manifested in the fact that Shemana Esrei have to be standing. You can't be moving at all. In Shemana Esrei, you don't interrupt to respond to anybody. In Kriya Shema, you can move around, you can sit down. If someone respectable shows up, you can answer, right? Because at the end of the day, in terms of the activity that you're doing, Shemana Esrei has greater weight. Okay. Kriya Shema. Yes. Yes. Because at the end of the day, Kriya Shema can't be made up. You know, the davening can be made up. It's obviously better to miss something you can make up than to miss something you can't make up. But I'll just note that you can't plan it that way This is not a factor for planning, because you can only make up the Shema Esrei if you missed the bonus. Right? Okay. Momentarily, we'll put this into a practical halachic perspective. Whatever it is, we said, okay, for Shema Esrei, you should go seeking water. Now, how far do you have to go? So the Gemara says, "Ve'ad kam." How far do you have to go to get water for Shemana Esrei? What happens if, like we said, let's say you're in the Sahara, there isn't water, miles around. How are you surviving? I don't know. But there isn't water for davening miles around. What do you do? "Ve'ad kam." How far do you have to go to get water for Shemana Esrei? Ad parsa. You have to go up to a parsa. A parsa is 72 minutes of travel. However, this does not mean that you have to go 72 minutes out of your way to get water to davening. It means a person is traveling. He's on the road anyways. And it's time to daven. He'd like to daven now, but he doesn't have water here. So we're saying, you're continuing in that direction anyways. If there's going to be water within 72 minutes, continue traveling. Don't daven yet. Continue traveling. It's going to be more than 72 minutes. You can just daven now without water. What's that? If you don't know, travel the 72 minutes to see if you'll come up with water. No, not in this case. Not with regard to this halacha. This halacha is saying parsa. I mean, it's a distance of travel. This is 72 absolute minutes. Meaning that's the extent that Chazal required you to put off davening until you can get water. So it's just an issue of time. It's not seasonal. Now, so this is not going to be so relevant in most cases, because most cases, you're not on the road. So now the Gemara says, Vani mili l'kameh. That's only if you have water up ahead of you. It's an issue of continuing on your way until you hit water. You're not losing travel time. Avola acherei. But if it means going out of your way, if it means going backward, let's say, you know that you don't have water ahead of you for 5 hours. If you want water, you have to go back. You have to go out of your way. Afilu mili nechoy. the Chachamim did not require you to even go a meal out of your way. A meal is 18 minutes. Now, Umina, however the Gemara infers, say you don't have to go a meal out of your way, you have to go 18 minutes out of your way. Meal hu de eino choyze. You don't have to go a meal out of your way. Ha-pachos mi meal choyze. But less than a meal out of your way, you do have to go. So let's sum this up, and this is mamish, very practical halacha. So what are we saying? If lemaisa, you're not on the road, or it's an issue of going out of your way to get water, we say, if there's water within 18 minutes, go get it. Go out of your way. If not, skip it. But if you're on the road anyways, and if you're going in that direction anyways, go up to 72 minutes. Put davening off up to 72 minutes in order to get water. So that's Takad Halacha Lamaisa. For example, if you're at home. You're at home, whatever the case is, how far do I have to go to get water for davening? The answer is up to 18 minutes out of your way. What's that?
18 minutes.
Apparently not. I'm not sure about that, but apparently not. Apparently it means going up to 18 minutes in order to get it. So sorry? Yeah. Oh, so that is true. We have to remember that even with regard to Shema, when we said don't go looking for water, lechatchila, a person should wash with water. If you have water available, you should use it. And therefore, yes, if you have an opportunity to wash for Shema, certainly wash for Shema. The whole discussion here is if you do not have water readily available, how much out of your way do you have to go? And about that, the Gemara tells us, about Kriya Shema, nothing at all. Don't go out of your way at all. Just say Kriya Shema. In regards to Shema Esrei, we have these provisions. That, yes, go up to 18 minutes out of your way, or 72 minutes on your way, but no more than that. So therefore, this is important to realize. This is important to realize for davening, right? Came into shul, whatever, you don't have to get up and go to the sink, you're mechuyev to. Okay, so now let's lamaisa put this into what's the halacha lamaisa? What's the halacha lamaisa here? So, the halacha lamaisa is basically as we understood it here in this Gemara, that yes, when it comes to Shema Esrei, you have to have water. And you have to go out of your way to get water in the manner we just described. Okay? However, there is a shita. Now, I'll just note another thing. That as we said before, according to how we learned the Gemara, it comes out that even if you're going to miss this month for Shemana Esrei, you must wash. And therefore, wait to the next tefillah. Now, there is a different shita. Among the Rishonim, it's a big machlokes here in the Rishonim. What I just said represents the Gemara as we read it, which is the Shita of the very prestigious personalities. We've got the Rif, the Rambam, Rashi, Rav Haigoin, Chashev Atami the Chachamim hold this opinion. And they say that yes, even if it means missing Zman Tefillah, wait till you can get the water. Okay? Then we have another list of prestigious personalities. We have the Rashba, Rabbi Yoina, Tosfos say that the version of our Gemara is mistaken. It was mistakenly inserted, and this whole qualification about tefillah is not meant to be here. And that when Rav Chisda cursed someone who goes out of his way to look for water, that is stated with regard to Kriya Shema and with regard to Shemana Esrei. There's no difference between Kriya Shema and Shemana Esrei. With regard to both, if you have water available, wash. If you don't go out of your way. So you have a big machlokes here. Right? Rashi, the Rif, Rambam, are saying, miss the Zman rather than wash without water. Tosfos, the others are saying, don't go out of your way at all to get water for davening. So, how do we pass from Lamaisa? Lamaisa, the Shulchan Aruch, wants to catch the rope at both ends. In Yiddish they say he wants to tatz balachasim, he wants to dance at both weddings. He straddles both opinions, he draws a compromise, and he says, we follow the opinion of the Rif, etc., that a person must make a point of getting water for Shemoneh Esrei, but not at the expense of missing this man. If you're going to miss this man, then we say, no, once again, you're going to come down to this man, missing this man, we are going to revert. We'll rely on the other opinion that says, skip the water. So therefore, practically, it comes out pretty practical. It comes out that, yes, go out of your way to get water for davening, but don't miss this man because of it. If it's going to mean missing this man, skip the water. Sorry? Right. So, if you can drive to a different neighborhood and you got 18 minutes, within 18 minutes, you're mechuyev to do so. If not, then you daven without washing. But again, you would wipe your hands on something that would cleanse them. Be it a dry paper towel or twigs, all the different things we saw in the Gemara. On a tree, right? Okay. Whatever will work. One more point, and this is also a manifestation of this compromise that the Shulchan Aruch draws. He says, and even that is only with regard to Shachris. With regard to Mincha Ma'ariv, we can be more makel, even if once you don't have water readily available, you don't have to go out of your way at all. So the bottom line halach is, for Shachris, go out of your way to get water, but don't miss the Zman because of it. Mincha Ma'ariv, if you have water readily available, wash with water. Otherwise, just wipe your hands on a dry paper towel or whatever it is. That's the bottom line halach halamaisa. Okay. Now, I'll just mention a couple of other distinctions here that should be taken into account, halacha lemaisa. The idea of washing with water for davening, as we're saying now, it's a chiyuv. You must wash with water. And this is also for mincha and ma'ariv, because most of us, in most situations, have water readily available. Meaning, not being in the mood to get up and go to the sink is not called not having water readily available. 10 seconds out of your way, you are allowed to go. But you must be washing with water for all three tefillahs, regardless of whether or not your hands are filthy. Right, this is a special chiyuv. You're supposed to wash for all three tefillahs. In fact, there are shitas that say that you make a bracha. We don't rule this way, but I'm just bringing it out that we're talking about a bona fide obligation. According to the Vilna Gaon, you wash for mincha, you stay on the tefillahs, you die. And we don't pasken that way. Fine. But it's a real obligation. No need. Stick your hands under the sink. Yeah. And, because again, the point here is not to get rid of Ruach Ra, clean, that's all. Yeah. But the whole hand, well, but under the sink. The Shachris may be better to actually wash your hands properly like you would for a meal. But Mincha Ma'ariv Amoli. Okay. Now, that's even if your hands are not filthy. And in this, davening is different than, let's say, other brachas, I'm learning Torah. You want to make a bracha. You were just, I don't know, you were at work. You've been busy for the last 4 hours. You don't know of any filth, but... So if you want to daven mincha, you have to wash your hands. But if you want to make a bracha, you don't. If you want to learn Torah, you don't. That's why we say, stam yodayim, meaning hands, no status hands. You're not filthy, not clean, you don't know. It's fine for brachas and learning, but not for davening. But if your hands are filthy, you have to wash them before saying any davar shemikdush, before learning Torah, before saying any sort of bracha. Also, middle of davening, you have to make sure you touch something filthy in the middle of davening, you're going to have to wash again. These are things that should be taken into account. So, what does touching something filthy mean? So, this is important because this could be very relevant. Touching a covered part of the body requires you to wash your hands again, or when you're davening, or learning Torah, or anything like that. Touching a covered part of the body, stick your hand into your shirt to scratch. Okay, you touch your flesh, or even the top of your arm, above the elbow, where it's covered. That requires you to wash your hand again. Also, if you scratch your head, the part that's usually covered, under the yarmulke, you scratch your head under the yarmulke, your hands are now filthy, and you are mechuyev to wash your hands before continuing to daven or before saying a bracha or learning Torah. Also, touching your shoes. For the parts that are not covered is okay. Touching your shoes also. If you touch your shoes, you have to wash your hands. And this again is relevant for all brachas in learning, and also for the middle of davening, even though you wash before davening, for the middle of davening, you touch one of these things, you must wash your hands. Okay, that's really that. We begin the next mission. Hakoyre is Shema. If a person recites Shema, Veloi Yishmia le'ozno, but he did not say it audibly, he couldn't hear his own recitation, Yotza, Tanakama says, you Yotza, without hearing. Articulated it, but didn't hear. Rabbi Yossi Aymer, Lo Yotza. Rabbi Yossi says, no, if you didn't hear it, you're not Yotza. You must hear it. Okay? That's machloikis number one. Machloikis number two. Kara veloidiktek voice yourself. If you read it, but you did not enunciate the words clearly and properly, meaning you said it slurred or something like that, you didn't say the nekudas exactly right. Rabbi Yossi, I'm a yotza. Here Rabbi Yossi is leaning. He says you are yotza. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a lo yotza. Rabbi Yehuda says you're not yotza. Okay? Yes. Yeah, it's mamish reversed opinion. Yeah. Hakoyre lemafreya. If a person reads Kriyat Shema backwards, this is already old news, right? If a person reads it backwards, lo yotza. He's not yotza. And therefore, kara v'ta'a, if a person read Kriyat Shema, he made a mistake, meaning he skipped some, he omitted, he skipped to a later place, yachzor lemakom shetah, you gotta go back to the place where you skipped, meaning this is really an offshoot of the previous halacha. If you said Mahayam Shemaya Tishmu, and then somehow you skip to the end of the parasha, you finished it off, you can't just go back and make up the psukim that you missed, because then you'll be saying it in the wrong order. So if you skip psukim, you have to go back to where you skipped and say it from there until the end. Okay, so we're going to analyze these halachas one by one. The first halacha we said was a machloikis, whether Kriyat Shema must be audible or not. So Rabbi Yossi said no. My time into Rabbi Yossi. Why does Rabbi Yossi say that you're not yotze if you do not hear your Kriyat Shema? Meishum niksiv, because the pasuk says Shema Yisrael, right? Hear Yisrael. What does hear mean? Hashmeya leoznecha mashata moitzi mipicha. You have to make sure that your ears will hear what you are saying with your mouth. So Rabbi Yossi's view, it's pretty explicit. Here, Rabbi Yossi's view, it's pretty explicit. Pasuk says, hear it. So you have to hear it. The Tanakama Sava. Tanakama says, hear doesn't mean physically. Shema, when it says to hear, it means to comprehend it. And therefore, what it's really signifying is, the Chaloshin Shashita Shemea. When it says hear, what it's signifying is, say it in whatever language you understand. It's got nothing to do with hearing with the ears. It's an issue of comprehending. That's all. Sorry? Right. Right. Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi says, Tati Shema Mina. Well, the pasuk really says both. It says hear. Hear means to hear with your ears. Hear also means to comprehend. So both are true. Okay. Fine, so there we have the two opinions. Now, before we begin the next sugya, I want to preface it with the following. The next sugya can be either be very confusing or very smooth. We have to choose which route we want to take. So I'd like to opt for the smooth option. So therefore, Gemara is going to be bouncing back and forth comparing Mishnayos about the halachas of hearing. About all kinds of instances around Shas, what do you have to hear, what don't you have to hear, matching up opinions, it can get very confusing. But really, there's just two main questions that are being addressed here. If you just keep this perspective, the Gemara is very smooth. First of all, if I ask you, what's the story? Does Kriya Shema need to be audible? How many answers to that question can there be? What's that? Well, the Chacham say it means to comprehend. Shema means to comprehend. So, how many answers could there be? You're saying two. But the truth is, right, we know, you have to think Jewish, three. There are really three possible answers to the question. Either it's no good. Exactly, right. It's the guy in the chimney, that's right. So, there are three answers to the question. Either it's no good, or it's fine, or lechatchila you should hear it, but b'dieved you yoytze. Okay? So there are three possibilities. So let's keep that in mind. That's number one. What's that? Shema. Shema, the term here can either be on a conceptual level or on a physical level. Meaning also when you speak, even in English, you say, I hear you, right? You don't mean to say, your voice hit my eardrums. You mean to say, I understand. It's colloquial, but it's actually the usage, in Lashon Kodesh even more so, it's actually the usage of the word. For example, I forgot, the Rashba shows where there are psukim that that's the only thing it can mean. It means comprehension. Okay, so, now, in our Mishnah, we only have two of these possibilities represented, right? Which two? Rabbi Yossi says, you're not Yotze. So we have that option. You're not Yotze, that's clear cut. No good. What does the Tanakhama say? He says, you're Yotze. Which of the two slots is he filling? That l'chatchila it's fine to do it? Or you really shouldn't, but if you did, it's okay. Ambiguous, right? So, we filled one slot, but we have two other... We don't know what the Tanakhama holds. Does he hold the l'chatchila with the evidence? Or does he hold it? No, it's mamish fine. So that's one thing we're going to try to resolve. What did the Tanakhama mean when he said you're yoytze? That it's fine? What happened to the evidence you're yoytze? That's one question. Another question that we're going to see is, whatever it is, it's got to be one of the two, right? There are only two opinions, right? Meaning that only two of those possibilities are held. Not all three. We don't have an opinion. We don't have three opinions on the matter. But yet, as we're going to look around and explore Shas, we are going to find Mishnayos representing all three possibilities. We're going to find Shitas that it's okay in the first place not to hear what you're saying. Shitas that say you should hear, but you have a Yotze. And a Shita that says you're not Yotze. And we're going to have to manage to fill those blanks because we only know of two Tanaim who stated an opinion on this. Yet we have to fill three blanks. So those are really the two questions we're going to be addressing. If we keep in perspective those two questions, the sugya will basically flow. Again, the two questions are, did the Tanakhama mean that it's fine l'chatchila, or did he mean b'l'chatchila you should hear about b'di'evad yotze? And also, the question will be, we have only two Tanaim addressing the subject, yet we have three blanks to fill. We have to have an opinion that says it's okay l'chatchila, an opinion that says okay, not l'chatchila, but okay b'di'evad, an opinion that says not b'di'evad, not even b'di'evad. Those are the puzzles we're going to have to solve.